It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 720. This one is with Ryan Shelton, recorded during our 24-hour live stream. And I'm super excited to release this one. You know, Ryan, for me, has been the biggest inspiration. And I can say that he was the reason why I wanted to even get into any of this stuff and learn about comedy and editing and sketches and all that sort of thing. You know, I've been watching his stuff since I was 12, when he was on Real Stories and Rove, and following what he's done since. And now he's putting out a new piece of work every 11th of the month on his new website, ryan.com. And they're so incredibly unique and creative. I haven't seen anything like it before. I could watch his stuff all day. So it was awesome for me to finally get to meet him and have a bit of a chat at the end. Before that, it's a really great conversation right when we needed it at about 6 p.m. He just perked us right back up and we were good to go for the rest of the night. So I hope you enjoy this one. This is a personal highlight for me. This is with Ryan Shelton.
Buongiorno!
Oh, it's Ryan.
Ryan Shelton, you've got a skivvy on.
Well, it's 6 o'clock, skivvy and scotch. Isn't everyone doing that?
Mate, you're on the wrong call. Oh, my God.
I do that every... Every Friday, 6 o'clock, skivvy and scotch.
What sort of
are you drinking, Ryan? What kind of scotch are you drinking?
It's a Glenlivet in a blue box. So that's the extent of my knowledge of the brand, of what it actually is. But it's very good, very affordable, relatively speaking. It's just, you know, like when you... When the tap's not working, it's just good to drink something.
You're going?
Sorry, I'm going to ask you the question everyone's probably been asking you. How's the day gone?
Yeah, it's good. TJ, you go first.
Yeah, we're probably 11 hours in now, Ryan.
Yeah.
And I haven't really eaten much. It's at that point where we just came off the back of probably 7 hours of guest after guest after guest, and I'm feeling pretty relaxed. I don't have my scotch and my skivvy, but I am feeling kind of relaxed right now.
That's weird. Is it the equivalent? Are you guys kind of in the equivalent of like it's the hump day section of the broadcast?
Yeah,
it's like the Wednesday equivalent.
Well, I think that what you're seeing is like a real, like we've gotten a bit loose or comfortable with just getting a bit slower. Like the transition between you being in the green room and then coming on, you can see that like there's not, like if you were in a green room and you're watching the show that was unfolding in front of you, you probably would feel a little bit nervous coming out because it's sort of, nothing's really happening.
It's kind of voyeuristic in that way. Like the off air is on air, but the off air is the on air. Like that is what it is. It's great. Cool.
Is that a gas fire? Like how does that fire work?
That is a great fire.
It never looks that good. I can't believe that it's come up like that. Like the last couple of weeks, we've had so much trouble getting it going and. For whatever reason, right now it looks fake, but it's completely real. It's just a combustion heater.
Oh, look! It looks so good. Wait, so with the combustion, like, do you need to, like, how do you get the wood? Are you cutting up wood?
No, well, not me personally, but I'm out of town at the moment. I'm in the country, and the one of my neighbours, Don Fairbrother, shout out, he's about 70. he went out and he chopped the wood with a chainsaw, and I kind of hurried and grabbed all the wood and put it in both of our cars for us. So he chopped it technically, but I'm a wood gatherer.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Would you feel? Are you close enough with Ron to invite him over for skivvies and scotches?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his hearing's going a little bit, so I don't know. Is going to be that good, but he's a lovely man. Lovely man.
What have you been doing in ISO? And how is the Breezer? What's going on, Breezer?
Hey, Bray.
Ryan says hi.
Hello.
I think that's just food organized.
We're on air.
Yeah, no, we are. This is the outrageousness. Like, you can't get mad because you don't want to be the boyfriend to blow up at his girlfriend on a live stream. It's not like that happened with Buble. Yeah. Buble got in trouble, didn't he?
That was a bit dark.
Okay, but the
he's sung his way out of it. He's sung his way out of it.
In ISO, Ryan, what have you been up to?
Yep. I've actually been kind of busy writing. I've been using it as an opportunity to do some things and I've actually there's this new show which is starting in a couple of weeks which I'm going to be on, and so I've got a job crazily in this time. So it's just this new show on ABC called At Home Alone Together, and Ray fucking Martin is hosting. So I've been writing for that and like editing that, and I've been kind of weirdly busy. So it's been good. Yeah. How about you guys? What have you guys been doing other than this show every day?
Literally just the show. But I wanted to say Max Price. Yeah. We had him earlier on, and we asked who his favorite actor or comedian was that he's worked with recently, and he said Ryan Shelton, as in you. It was the highlight.
What a darling man. I love that man.
He didn't even know that you were coming on the show. Like, so that's a genuine shout out.
Oh, that's so cool. Love him.
That's nice, isn't it?
I went and did, so he obviously works on Kinney's show, and I went and did like a day on that, and it was the best. Like, their show is so much fun because it's that good level of crew size where it's big enough to do lots of stuff and move really fast, but not so big that
it's a COVID-19 kind of problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just managed to finish. Did he talk about that, actually? Did he talk about it a bit, filming. That was kind of a weird thing because you were seeing like updates from him and Troy's Instagram, and everything was locked down. And I was like, how are they, what are they, like, how have they got like snuck through? What did he say?
Also, they basically went as far as they could, but then they ended up having to shut the thing down. So there was a bit of stuff.
They did 11 days of 14 or something like that. Yeah. And so they're still going to make it happen.
Okay. That's pretty good.
Our producer, Charles, is asking, so this is a little bit unprofessional and I hope you don't mind, but with the merch, you are a big supporter and you bought some merch. You put a PO box as the address, but we took your billing address because our Ramble, who was riding around the bike, was doing deliveries, and we were trying to be tight asses, but you can't sort of just give it to Australia Post. Has Ramble sent you? Oh fuck! You're away.
I'm away. Yeah.
So there's a T-shirt somewhere.
It's in the letterbox.
It's in the letterbox.
Oh, that's okay. Oh yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that's fine. And there's a bunch of thieves in the building, but I can't imagine they'll be operating at a thieves social distancing? I guess they probably would be. Right.
Definitely not.
It is one of the points. There was some advice from some medical person saying stock up on your drugs, which seems counter. But if you think about it, there's no, like, think about getting shipments in from overseas, drug dealers are going, you know, everyone's going out of business, including them.
Yeah. Drug dealers?
I mean,
surely drug dealers
in terms of
supplies.
You know, the supply chain, Ryan, as you know, it's been affected.
It's the first today, the 11th is when you release a new Ryan video.
Yep.
Can you give
why are you up to? How many Ys are we down?
I'm up to four. Yeah. So I've started working on that, and it's strange at the moment because the first two, obviously, I mean, even though the first two I made were videos done on a very small scale, like it was just me and a guy called Tim who I work with, and another guy called Michael. It was literally three of us that made it. So technically we could, but because I'm not in town and everything's a bit strange, making things at the moment in the same way that you guys are having to adapt, everyone's kind of having to figure out how do I do what I do and
not make it all about the pandemic, but still, you know, I guess remain or stay true to what you want to do and not let it affect you too much. Because I think with your show is probably different because it's more like a radio situation when it is a radio situation. But with the website with Ryan.com, people like a podcast, people will discover it at different times. I imagine like there'll be people mm-hmm. who will probably stumble across it in like a year or 2 years, and I'm kind of wary about. I mean, on one hand, it's you could look at it as a time capsule, but on the other hand, you could look at it as just like content. Mm-hmm. And the time capsule mm-hmm. aspect of it is kind of interesting because when I started doing this, I was kind of interested in looking at it as a sort of diary of sorts, or in the same way that like a musician will write an album about where they're at in their life in that point in time. It was kind of interesting to think about it as like, well, maybe I'll just write about and make things that are kind of about the things that are happening to me at the moment or what I'm thinking. And that was certainly the first two. But now as I'm sort of three down and moving into the kind of the guts of it a bit more, especially in the first two videos that I made, I felt like I really came out swinging with the things that I really wanted to say, like the things that were on my mind. Have been on my mind a lot. So now it's sort of, I'm sort of more into the area of like, well, now what do I just want to do? Like, I'm not as, those sort of things that I wanted to say aren't as prevalent. They aren't as top of mind because I've put it out there. And so now it's more about just like, what fun things can I do? Like what, you know, in a situation where you can do anything and there's kind of no real restrictions, it sort of can be kind of overwhelming creatively, I guess, because where anything's possible. Like I'm someone who really loves parameters, which is kind of why I sort of set myself this goal of doing one thing every month. So there's a time parameter, and of course there's a budgetary parameter as well. But creatively you can kind of do anything, and it's not even restricted to just video. Like the last one I did was just purely audio. And so it's kind of exciting but also overwhelming to kind of approach each one. Like this next one I'm doing is completely different again. I mean, it's video, but it'll be just completely different than the other things and just not connected at all. But it's just the most, it's some of the most fun I've ever had doing anything. It's complete freedom like you guys have, and it's liberating. It's so exciting.
Do you think that the
Sorry, mate. I haven't talked for 10 minutes. I fell asleep. not because of you, Ryan. I'm just fading hard. I need some sort of sugar.
Do you want me to repeat what I just said?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We you do the one for one, but it's completely gone out the window. And it's, you know, it's getting,
I think your delay's
hours.
Gotten a bit full on. I think that's part of it. So I just so there's something happening.
Sense of humor, we talked about in the recent weeks, Sev's having zero sense of humor. I mean, you're a comedian that is stimulating people's sense of humor. What is your, I mean, it's a weird one to even identify. How what do you view as your own sense of humor, and how do you explain that?
That's a good question. It's good. Yeah. I think it's changed a lot actually in, you know, if I kind of like, and I've been reflecting on it quite a lot actually recently. And I think more and more I'm more interested in sort of finally being, without wanting to sound kind of too sincere about it, but kind of being truthful, I think, more than anything. When I certainly, like, in years gone by, and other things that I've done and shows that I've developed and things that I've made, It's always been like, well, just what's funny, you know, just trying to make it funny, silly. And I was always really kind of like allergic to the idea of revealing myself at all. Like I just never wanted to tell anyone about who, you know, what I was thinking or, you know, anything. And I think mostly because I didn't really know and I couldn't really articulate it. And in the last couple of years, as I've done sort of more reflection and more just sort of thinking about what I'm doing and where I'm going, I guess, it's become easy to articulate. And I guess once you kind of understand yourself more, then it becomes a bit more, well, at least for me, it's become more interesting and exciting to be able to express it. So for a sense of humor, I'm looking at just like the truth of like what I'm actually feeling, and realizing more and more, just we're all so similar, we're all the same, we're all having similar struggles to a certain extent. And I think, and I'm certainly not the first person to do this, but it's very new for me, so I'm really enjoying it.
Have you learned anything about yourself in ISO, like any big surprises?
Not really. I mean, it's confirmed my love for pasta. but other than that, no huge revelations really. How about you guys? Have you guys had any kind of big sort of?
Well, I think it's around the people. Like, I mean, that's one thing that we all have had to cut. It's people, and so the family thing. I mean, as much as we've all coped, I feel like it's so, I saw my parents last weekend and it was really lovely, like, to see the joy in them, which is something, it's one of those moments where you'd probably take it for granted when you're just around people all the time. And so just mum and dad, the relationship they have with my son Bodhi. Yeah, I mean, it goes from that to then beers with a mate is, you kind of miss that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, 97? 97, what have you learned about yourself? You've
been suspiciously quiet.
What have I learned? Yeah, I mean, it's probably interesting because it's that social need that I've discovered I can sort of fulfill it through being pretty much digital only, like being able to FaceTime. Like, I think
so you're not going to see anyone anymore? Is that the
You've got to meet Grace Mason. The relationship can't continue.
He's got a girlfriend since being in.
That's a great discovery as well. But yeah, I mean, I think just. I mean, I've never been one to FaceTime heaps and really get into all the messaging, and so I think I've done a lot of that recently, and I think that's been something that I've lent into and sort of enjoyed over the past fair few weeks. So
that's great. It's been great. Yeah,
it's funny about you. You're going right.
Sorry, John. I've sort of realized that. I realized that pretty early, actually, when people stopped seeing each other. And we were relying so much on video chat, and video chat kind of had this rebirth. And before that, for me at least, FaceTime or Skype was only kind of reserved for special occasions. Like, it was like, if you go on a holiday, then you'll like FaceTime your family or your friends or partner or whatever. Or if it's like a work meeting that you're not at, it's like, well, I'll FaceTime in. But then all really quickly, it became just like FaceTiming like you would call someone. And it's sort of, I feel like we're finally in that future that all of the films predicted. And I don't know if it'll stick around, but it's like that idea of like, well, a call is a video call. It became more and more a thing.
So have you been doing much collaboration, like doing creative calls or having sort of work meetings within sort of that video conferencing context? And is it different than sort of being in the room?
Haven't done a lot of it. In the same way that conference calls are shit, it's just like a delay. Mm-hmm. Any sort of delay just kills. It's so frustrating because you'll be on this roll and then people will jump in and then you spend, 20 seconds. No, you go. No, it's all right. No, sorry. Or you're going to say something. Sorry. And it's just really hard to get that roll on. So, I don't know, video calls of any more than, one, two, three, four, five people, I just...
TJ, I was just going to say, what do you think about 97 tapping out with George so George can jump into 97 spot? Because Ryan, George, our editor, is one of your biggest fans, and he also is, it turns out, he's a big fan of Keep It Cleaner as well. It seems to be a bit, and Pete Murray, he's a big fan of everyone, but he does he does know a lot of Ryan Shelton trivia. So Sevs, do you want to sort of end that?
Do I need to send him my key, or is he good?
No, I can switch him. I can switch him in. He's just gonna have to join
God,
in.
God, this is so funny.
Okay, so, great.
Yeah, this would be great.
I'll leave now.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, just on what you're saying, it's like it almost, we need rules in these about who's speaking, but then that is not how you normal have human interaction, right? So it's like we don't go to the pub and then enforce rules about when Ryan's talking and then I'm talking. Yeah. It's a bizarre thing, but then you find it works. You find it works.
Well, it formalizes what should just be a fun environment. Like it kind of, it's really hard. I mean, like the delay thing, I'm shocked whenever I'm on a conference call on like proper conference call software and there's a delay, like, and not even video, just like audio. It's like, how are there still delays? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a buzzkill, but okay.
It's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare, but do you know what? We've got Georgie boy. George, are you in the
George.
Can you hear us?
I think so.
Oh yeah, great.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, just have a chat with Ryan Shelton.
Oh, don't make it awkward.
How's it going?
No, I won't.
I love the turtleneck. So
it's a skippy, but yeah, thanks. I was actually wearing it today because it's quite cold today, and where I'm working is like a shed and it's freezing, and so I realized that I was gonna do 6 o'clock with you guys, and then I realized, holy shit, skivvy starts with S. What else starts with S? Scotch. And anyway, I pitched this crazy idea to Josh, skivvies and scotch at 6 o'clock, and here we are.
I'm just gonna eat my burrito. I hope you guys don't mind. George sort of gets
to know Ryan. Is that homemade, Josh?
No, it's from Happy Mexican on Hoddle Street. Great establishment.
Go slow, Josh. Go slow. Don't eat too fast.
Okay, great.
And you don't have to finish it.
I could, but I won't.
I'd love to see it in one, Josh.
do you want me to do it in one?
No.
Ten
no,
comments, and we'll do it in one. No. I'll vomit. It's a nightmare.
George,
I am, and
Are you editing all the videos?
Well, I've been editing like my own sort of videos for the boys, but the episodes and stuff, they don't get edited, obviously. But I edit like the promos, and I've been doing a little hump day replay every Wednesday where I like recap the week. And
yeah, great.
I feel like it's been heavily inspired by you. You've been probably my biggest inspiration since I was...
For the hump day replay?
Yeah. No. Just
in general. Really? In what sense?
Well, I've been watching you since Rove days and like the Greystone 2800 and stuff like that.
Whoa! And Greystone 2800.
What's that? What's Greystone 2800?
Greystone 20. Well, George can probably, he probably has a better memory of it than I do, but yeah, I mean, Greystone 20 was years ago. So me and Hamish and Andy and Tim Bartley, we are Radio Karate, that's our company. But when the very first job we had on TV, like paid job, was at Channel 7, and we did this work on the show, which ended up being called Hamish and Andy. I'm sure Andy or Hamish have spoken about it at some point on this podcast. Anyway, that lasted like 5 minutes, and then that got axed. And then we got a pilot deal, I think, at Channel 7. And so we created this pilot, and that was a Tonight Show style, late show inspired kind of sketch/live thing, which, you know, had some okay bits and whatever. We were very young, but one of the things we did in that was this sort of mockumentary thing, like this short mockumentary, which was essentially a mock documentary about a couple who purchase a display home, and the display home continues to operate as a display home while they live there.
and so it was me, and so it was me and Hamish and Andy and on the show, but then also Celia Pakwala was on the show as well. So her and I were the married couple who owned this house and had to deal with people coming through. But that was the when that pilot didn't happen, we entered that the Greystone 2800 into the Melbourne Comedy Festival short film competition, and it won. And then part of the prize was it got screened on the Comedy Channel on Foxtel, and then from that either Rove or someone at Rove saw it, and then we met with Roving, and then we ended up making a show called Real Stories, which was based off sort of like triggered from that thing. So you would have seen that.
What's going through your head?
Sorry,
what's going through your head at those times? So fresh in your career, what are you thinking when you're meeting with Rove and Roving Entertainment? What's the vibe there?
Well, terror and just ecstasy. Like, it was just so, because we were huge fans of Rove's show. Hamish and I, we went to high school together, and we loved Rove's show. We did Year 12 in 99, and that was Rove's first year when he was on Channel 9. So he did 1 year of Rove on Channel 9, which was just brilliant. And then they went to Channel 10. But that year, Hamish and I did Year 12, and we were at Schoolies Week in Noosa. And one night we were at, it was like a Tuesday night or whenever Rove was on, and we were at this place called the Rolling Rock, which is this delightful nightclub in Noosa. And we realized it was 9:30 and Rove was about to start. And so we like left the nightclub on Schoolies Week and raced and ran home to watch Rove. So then cut to like, 5 years later or whatever it was, and we're having this meeting with Rove, was just like, we couldn't, well, speaking for myself, I couldn't believe it. It was incredible.
I just stopped my timer. That was about 4 minutes to eat a whole burrito, Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
Well done.
I didn't want to miss this gold. It was great. George, keep going. Just, you can go. How long have you got, by the way, Ryan? Can you do till 7? Have you got another?
I can go till 7. I'm actually, at 7 o'clock, I'm watching Helen Bedeau's live Zoom show.
Okay, great.
Do you know Helen Bedeau?
No.
Yeah.
It's Anne Edmonds does a character called Helen Bedeau, and it is so funny. And this character is so funny, and she's doing two live Zoom shows tonight and tomorrow night, and so I'm watching that. I've got tickets.
That's so good.
Sorry, George,
that's okay. I'm just so glad I can finally meet you, because Real Stories was the reason why I wanted to even get into this film, like, industry, really? Like TV, anything, like, hands down, the biggest inspiration for me. I loved that show so much. And then the other one was We Can Be Heroes, which I know that you wrote on.
Amazing.
So, but what I loved about your stuff in Rove days was like the editing being the joke, and you know the making. That's what made me want to start getting into editing and stuff, just because, you know, you can add so many jokes into the video in the edit, which I loved. And
I was talking to someone about this exact thing, like, just the other day, because when I was doing that segment on Rove, the very first segment I did was one of the ideas that was left over, or that we did on that pilot on Channel 7 that never went anywhere. So I redid that idea. And after that, I was kind of like, I didn't really know what I was going to do. I had no kind of theme, or I had no kind of like linking idea of what the week to week idea was going to be. And so I did my first one. I think it was like Rideas. Oh, Rideas. That's what it was. So Rideas was like the title of my segment. And I did it. And I remember we filmed it. Tim and I, we filmed the first one. And I remember, and I'm sure everyone who's made anything will know this feeling, you get into the edit and you watch the first cut, and you realize that what you've made is complete shit. And you're like, oh no, it's like, this is bad. This is really not funny. Like, there's so many dead spots. It's slow. There's like a 30 seconds with no joke, or, you know, which is a long time in those short little segments. And I remember having that sinking feeling, which I now realize is quite normal. But it, at the time, I panicked because in 4 days' time, this was going to go on my favorite show.
Yeah.
So I was panicking. And so I remember so specifically thinking, well, what if we, instead of just cut air, what if we do a slide transition and I just do a voiceover saying slide transition? just like a little fun, just to feel like a moment. And we did that. And yeah, and at the time I was heavily influenced. I'm pretty sure Tim and Eric had started by this stage, because I was so influenced by Tim and Eric. And I think that I was sort of trying to emulate the way that they would kind of play with the medium, and the way that, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I have liked in my life is stuff that plays with form or convention or whatever. And I remember thinking, oh, that's a good way to kind of like make boring bits funny. And then that all of a sudden became what I was writing. So then it just became like, well, how many edit jokes can I write? And it became like this thing where that was the joke then. But it came from necessity or panic, really. But it became like this really fun thing to do and then shoot. And then the edit became the most fun part.
Yeah. I mean, when you're putting stuff out every week for Rove and now every 11th for yourself, like, how do you... Because I've been doing that with the boys the last few weeks, and every time I'm about to put something out, I hate it. And the first thing I want to do is tell people I'm not happy with it. How do you not do that?
I'm exactly the same. For all of these ones, for the first two videos that I made for the 11th, I was terrified and I was convinced it was shit. I was convinced that it was like, oh, people are going to think that I'm taking myself too seriously, or people are going to, like, just concentrating on what the what-ifs of, you know, what you worry about, how people will react. But I get that every single time I make something. You get so close to it that you can't really see what you saw in it at the start, like the thing that you loved when you had the idea and what made you want to actually make it. By the time you get to the end of it, you sort of forget that bit, and you're just sort of concentrating on these little tiny details that most people will never notice. And you've forgotten the actual core of the idea that made you want to do it in the first place.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I think
this is your moment.
The committing in public to put something out on a certain day and then having to do it, I think is good. Like that's sort of what I've been doing with this Wednesday thing. But, you know, that's sort of inspired by your 11 day, like, you know, you're telling everyone that you've got to put something out and then you have to.
That's just the reason I did that was because I respond just to deadlines and expectation. Like if there's no one expecting it, I'm likely to do it, and I can sort of excuse myself from not doing it, and then I just make less. So it was more just out of going, I know I'm happier when I make things, so how can I get myself to make things? And it was the idea I had was to kind of set this expectation in public, so I'd be publicly humiliated if I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Ryan, what do you look at most fondly, like when you look back at all your projects? Are there any ones that were maybe even painful or whatever when you did it, but you actually look back at it now and like, oh, that's actually really good?
Luckily nothing's been really painful. Mm-hmm. The things that I look at most fondly, I guess because I've had different roles on different things. Sometimes I'm a producer and sometimes I'm just a performer, and you get different things out of both, and I love both. But I always keep coming back to Cliff. Like Cliff was a series I did on Instagram, which is 15, they're 15 second episodes. And I played this character, and that was something that was, I did that in a year where we weren't making anything at Radio Karate, and I just, and Instagram was still relatively, video on Instagram was still relatively new, and
And I remember thinking, how can I make the most of it, or what can I do differently on it? And ended up just coming up with this idea, and I had this time to do it. And that was a situation where it was just me and Tim again, and usually one or two other people helping, and whichever actors came and did it with me. But it was complete freedom again, like just the feeling of publishing something directly to the people who are going to watch it, and literally hitting the button, like literally hitting the post button, was just, I remember thinking that was incredible. And I still love
it. Have Rye, did you still have that, you know, the feeling that George is saying that weekly, like as much as it is something you look fondly upon, did it still have that level of oof within it?
For Cliff?
Mm.
Not as, I mean, a little, definitely the first one. Definitely when I did it first, there was definitely, by the time I kind of got to the point where I was posting, and I kind of, it's almost like I came out of this thing and I looked at what I'd made and I was like, what the fuck are you doing? It's like playing this character in this bob wig in pajamas. I was like, what are you doing? You were on television, mate.
I love that. It was.
I had that definitely. Sorry, George. Sorry.
No, go on.
No, and I definitely had that feeling of like of worry, but because it was Instagram, and because I knew that comparatively to the other things that people were looking at on Instagram, it would at least have higher production value. I think I was leaning on that, or my ego was resting on that a little bit.
Yeah,
it was so good. Like, it used the platform so well. And there was another one that was one of the first like Instagram series I saw was with Kyle Mooney, and it was DNK podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys heard of this?
That is the greatest thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. I rewatched it again the other day.
He did. You would have seen that, Kyle Mooney, George. He did that recent, that Instagram stories influencers thing. Did you see that? He did?
Yeah. And he spaces it out so much. It's like, you know, he'll do one and then a week later follow up on it. And it's like,
yeah,
this long form joke that is done over Instagram. And it's so neat, but it's just brilliant.
Kyle Mooney, I don't know if it's, I'm assuming it's still on YouTube, but the Vox Pops that he used to do before he got on Saturday Night Live. So Kyle Mooney's on SNL. But before he was on SNL, he did these hilarious Vox Pops where he would go to baseball games and stuff, and he would talk to people, you know, interview people, but not really, like sometimes he wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's kind of stupid to try and explain it, but Kyle Mooney is unbelievable. Yeah.
And he was using like one of those like shotgun mics with a huge XLR cord and just like tripping around right, stuff. Yeah. Gold.
Yeah. And just, yeah, you kind of get the sense, I reckon. Like with Kyle Mooney, when he got an SNL, I was always interested to see how he would go, because he's clearly, I don't think he would necessarily respect the comedy that SNL has done in the last like 10 years. Like, I think that his comedy is so alternative that what SNL do, I reckon to him, like maybe he would have grown up liking it, but I reckon in more recent years he would look at it and think, it's probably not his thing. So then to get on it himself, I reckon now he's doing these things on Instagram as a way to kind of cleanse his soul a little bit because he feels like he's doing something that isn't his actual favorite thing.
He gets slammed on SNL from people. Like, it's pretty rough. Fans just, you know, think he's shit. But he's like, you haven't seen his old stuff, guys. He's so good.
Yeah, but also I think the people who are SNL, like, diehards, have a different sense of humor to Kyle, I reckon. Different. Mm. So yeah, you probably can't. It's probably not fair.
There's a lot of love, Ryan Shelton, in the comments, in the chat for you. And Max Price has just jumped in, said the man himself, Ryan Shelton.
Max Price!
And there's a bunch of comments. Casey was saying perfectionism can be so frustrating. Do you think, Ryan, have you been told that you overthink things? Is that sort of a thing that you do?
I have definitely gone through times where I've overthought stuff. But I remember reading something, and I'm sure you would have read this, Josh. I feel like any sort of creative inspiration thing I've read, I feel like, Josh, you've probably read it before me.
Do like myself help, yeah.
I know, yeah. But the there was something about where it's like the best thing to do is to just start, you know, because like you can so easily get stuck in that mode of just like thinking and thinking and thinking. And by the time, if you think too much, you can easily talk yourself out of it. Whereas if you just actually do it, you can prove to yourself whether you're right or wrong. And if it's shit, then you can just move on. But if it's good, then you've actually done it. And that was, and that's what's kind of great about things like Instagram and, and even like what I'm doing with the 11th, the time parameter means that you kind of have no choice but to just start, because there's a time pressure, like there's a deadline coming. So if I was to take all the ideas I do this year on the 11th, and if there was no time restraint, I'd maybe get one or two of them done because I'd spend so long thinking about it.
What is the catalyst, but like for kicking off something? I mean, you're no stranger to doing creative projects, but for something like your new one, what is the catalyst of, and what we previous to that, like what's the lead into actually going, okay, I'm going to make a commitment now and I'm going to put my foot down and start working?
Yeah. It's purely that I recognize that I'm at my happiest when I'm making things that I believe in. When I'm making things that I believe in and putting it out there, and I can see that people are like enjoying it and people are getting some level of joy from it. And that again comes back to Cliff, like the experience of making something really fast, being able to write a whole season of something in 2 days, film it in 1 day, edit it in like a week, and then have it play out in another week, and to be able to see the instant response from people was just one of the best feelings I've ever had. Like, as far as a rewarding feeling, far better than Rove even. Even though Rove, being on Rove, had like this a higher profile, I feel like I didn't have that same level of the response. You don't see people in their homes. This is back in the days when people made television. You couldn't see people in their homes actually commenting or laughing. The best, which is like when people tag their friends and want to tell someone else. They enjoyed it so much, they want to tell someone else and they want to share it with them. The other part of it, Tommy, is that I'm lucky that I have a lot of ideas, and the most exciting part of the process is the having the idea and fleshing out the idea. Sometimes it's like after that point, then you have to make it. And then it just becomes annoying because it's like, oh shit, okay, well now I have to execute this exciting thing that I had so much fun thinking about it and writing out the document or whatever, but now I have to go and shoot it and it's raining and then it's annoying. So the every month thing, it sort of meant that I could get through more ideas quicker. Like even like the third thing I did 3 weeks ago is a thing called Now Shower, which is an audio sort of music comedy thing. And even that, like that's an idea I had about a year ago. And when I decided to do it as one of these things, I was so excited because I was like, oh, I can just do 3 episodes and then that's it. I don't have to sustain this idea to the point, like, because writing sketch comedy is fun at first and then it kind of gets laborious because it's like, you know, you've only really got like a handful of ideas that you keep then rewriting with different characters and different scenarios. So to be able to just, speaking for myself at least, so to be able to just like make 3 of these episodes and really love them and love the process of making it and the person I made it with, and then to go like, okay, that's done now, I can start a new idea. Like that's just my dream scenario. I just love it.
In the comments on YouTube, Whitey's saying, Ryan, have you considered taking your Melbourne International Comedy festival show and putting it onto another medium, or are you saving it for next year? That's Dave's Shed Show.
Oh yeah, well yeah. So Dave's Shed Show that I do with, that I did last year at the festival with Steve Curry and Dave Lawson, obviously, and Mark Wilson from Jet. We were going to do it this year, and obviously the festival got cancelled. We did. Well, we are still trying to get it, get some sort of TV network interested in it. Like, we did pitch it, and there was initial interest, and there is still a bid, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Who knows if it's going to happen? But it would have been interesting to see if that happened, because obviously doing something live in front of an audience and doing it on TV is completely different. And the live experience of at least making that show was just the best. It was just a dream. I loved.
Yeah, can I just say that was the funniest live show I've ever seen. I'm not even joking. Whoa, I couldn't wait really? To see it again this year. Yeah. Oh, it was my favorite thing. Yeah. Like, it was so good. I was trying to explain what the show was when people said, "What should we see at the comedy festival?" I said, "You have to see Dave's Shed Show." And then it's like, "Oh, what's that?" I was like, "Oh, it's yeah, it's like a chat show, but sort of." And then Ryan's like a stage, and I just couldn't explain it.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, George. Yeah. No, we loved making that, and we'll do it again. Like, the show that we wrote for this year, it's not topical, so we can just do it hopefully next year, assuming they have a festival next year. So, yeah, it's we'll be back doing it again next year. But yeah, it was a real shame. I mean, for so many people, that was just a shame that festival got. Well, obviously, enough to talk about Corona. Everyone knows it's shit.
Yeah. Breaking news from is that yep. exclusive?
The guy
I can run the exclusive banner. Are you cool with that? And just want to get permission.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right. Perfect.
There we go.
Oh, there is actually one.
Anything else exclusive?
No, that's all I've got. That's the best news I've got. Actually, the other exclusive is that I unfortunately do have to go.
Oh shit!
No, that's fair. I mean, it's sort of, I don't know if the banner was Sorry. Relevant for that, but thank
I
you.
I genuinely could sit here. I could sit here. I could come back later tonight if you need someone.
Yeah, because look, we're going to be doing it until 7 a.m. So,
I know. Well, are you guys going to drink or anything?
Yeah.
Have you got any of those edibles from LA left? What are you going
to
do?
Nah. Could you imagine trying to take that? Like, I wonder how easy it is to take on the plane. But anyway.
Smuggling. Exclusive drug smuggling with Ryan Shelton.
Yeah, ask me anything.
Love you, Ryan, mate. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you so much.
Sorry if I was fanboying a bit there, but you know.
No,
not
you.
Sorry.
That's what I'm here for. I loved it so much. Too much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Good luck.
See you, mate.